So our text is from our epistle reading, 1 Peter, these words, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the ideas that came out of the Reformation of the Church in the 16th century, an idea that has been forgotten somewhat, a really helpful idea, is that if some teaching, some doctrine, if something which is proclaimed within the church is not right, it's not correct, it's not being taught properly, we don't eliminate that doctrine. We don't rid ourselves of it. We don't throw it away, but we just fix it. We correct it. We move on. We move on with the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our life in him. Repentance, for example, sorrow for sin and the commitment to try not to sin was understood at the time to be a way by which man could work his way to heaven, that is, by making satisfaction for his sins via good works assigned to him. Now, should a Christian repent of their sins? Of course. Should the Christian do good works? Well, yes. Should a Christian desire a life for heaven in heaven with Jesus? You bet. According to Scripture, however, these ideas were not related to each other as they were being taught 500 years ago. And so their relationship, it was fixed. The doctrine taught correctly, and life went on in the church. Repentance, it wasn't tossed out. Good works, they weren't thrown away, and a desire for heaven not discouraged. But that's sort of what we still do, isn't it? So often, each one of us, I mean individually, with ideas about Jesus, with things about God, about the Bible. If some doctrine is broken in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, if we don't understand something or know we don't have it just right, our tendency is not to fix it, to fix what's broken in our hearts and minds and lives, but simply to rid ourselves of it. Yes, I know the cost of repair of anything nowadays seems to have gone through the roof, and why repair when tossing is a lot easier, a lot less expensive. Well, what is economically sound practice is not always theologically sound for a Christian life. For if we were to toss out every doctrine of Scripture which we don't understand or have misunderstood at one time or another in our lives, or even now we downright can't comprehend. Yes, if we would throw away every word of Jesus which we have gotten wrong in our understanding at one time or another in our lives, then all of our Bibles, they'd be pretty thin. Missing hundreds of pages, those pages on which those teachings were found, having been ripped out of our Bibles and thrown away. Case in point, our wonderful, our encouraging, our inspiring text for this morning, a description of the Christian church, of Christians living through faith in Christ in the world, and faith that Christ has suffered and died and rose again from the dead for us, and thus through his Spirit, even now, even this morning, grants us new life. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Now, hearing such wonderful declarations about us, about all who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior everywhere around the world, we should be ecstatic. We should be joyful. We should be beside ourselves. Why? God, the very creator of all that exists, has chosen us to be his special people. I mean, we read in the Old Testament about God's choosing of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who he calls Israel. And reading about that, we are impressed. Look what God did. How silly those people were to rebel. How wonderfully God cared for them. Well, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, all who believe in Jesus Christ are now that same very chosen people. Royal priesthood. We're not just priests. That is, those who can pray to God, interceding for ourselves and for others. But we are a royal priesthood. That is, a priesthood connected with a kingly house. The kingly house of none other than our King Jesus Christ. We then, as Christians, are collectively a holy nation. A group of people from all over the world, of different colors, speaking different languages, having different histories, but in Christ, in Jesus Christ, through the preaching of Christ, we are in reality united with Christians everywhere in one nation, one holy nation, holy because through faith in Christ, Christ's holiness, his righteousness has been and continues to be credited to us every single moment of our lives. A people of his own possession. As we're God's people. People for whom God cares, people over which God sees, people whom God tends and nourishes through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now think of that. Through and in and by Jesus Christ, we are a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's people. In this we should greatly rejoice. We should wonder, we should be simply happy, happy like when, well, like when our country does well at the Olympic Games. Can't tell you how happy I was when the first Dream Team played in the Olympics, because at that time I wasn't even living here in the United States. I was living in Germany. And those NBA players, and they made meat of all the other teams in the world. And I remember watching those games on a huge multi-screen television that was erected in the Frankfurt train station as I had to wait for a train. And the Germans, they just couldn't believe how good the American team was. They were winning every game by 30 and 40 and 50 points. They were astounded. Were they really that good? They'd ask me, and I'd say, yeah, they are. Yeah, they're good. Americans. So as the only American in our building, I was therefore named the head of the basketball committee and tasked with erecting a basketball hoop on the building's garage. That's what I got. Most of us remember the 1980 Olympic hockey team. How proud were the people of Minnesota then. How proud are they still? But so many of the players were from here, those college kids that beat the Russians. Well, you know the feeling. You remember how that was. It was great to be somehow part of that. How wonderful. But, Pastor, so responds our old Adam, egged on by our flesh that wants to fit into the world. But, Pastor, we don't want to be considered racists. And when we hear that phrase, chosen race, that's what we think. And as for being royal, well, we don't have any royalty here in the United States. We're all equal. No one's better than any other person. And holy nation, well, we kind of like that. But to be honest, it's not like we've not made mistakes in the past as a country. Sure, we don't like to talk about such things, but holy nation might be a little strong. And chosen people, well, that may be true. But it doesn't seem right to talk in that way. God loves everyone in the world, not just those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. So I guess that's it, isn't it? Modern sensitivities bring it all to an end. Due to the history of abuse of ideas like race, royal, holy, chosen, we're prevented from really embracing what the Holy Spirit is proclaiming here. Well, I'm sorry, but I think at this point we simply need to repent of such modern sensitivities when it comes to texts from God's holy word, of our trusting more in man than in God, of in Lot's wife's fashion, worrying more about the kingdom of this world and our place in it than the kingdom of God. Yes, let us repent of our rejection of the very word of God to us, our breaking of the second and third commandments, and instead embrace our status before God, our status as chosen, our status as royal, our status as holy, our status as being God's own people. Let us revel in the joy of that status, not rejecting it because we don't understand it or we're frightened we might abuse it or we just don't know and are hesitant. For what's the point of it all? The point of our text? Not to strut around the earth like some crazed fan of a team that just won the World Series screaming and yelling all sorts of things people scream and yell at such times. But the point of being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, is so that we in the world can proclaim in Christ the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness of this world and into the marvelous light, which is our life in Jesus Christ. For isn't that life in Christ to share? It is to share, it is to proclaim, and it is to share, and it is to proclaim so that others can also be part of our chosen race, our royal priesthood, our holy nation, our status as God's own possession. No, our life in Christ is not a matter of gloating, but it is a matter of inviting, of urging, of encouraging others, those around us at work, at home, at school, to also be a part of the marvelous light that is ours in Jesus Christ. What is such light? What is such life? It's a life in which the conscience is at peace. And it is at peace because the Holy Spirit has caused it to be at peace, convincing our hearts and our minds and souls that, yes, in Christ we have received the forgiveness of sin. In Christ we are indeed righteous before God. In Christ we are indeed holy. And that being so, we need not spend our lives on ourselves spiritually belly button staring, living each day wondering about our status before God. Think about that. Be like waking up every morning, and even though we were born here in the United States, worrying every morning when we got up whether or not we were really American citizens. I don't think anybody does that. Sure, we don't always appreciate our status as American citizens, but who wakes up thinking, oh boy, I wonder if I'm truly an American citizen? No. Since we know that our citizenship is in this country and that it is assured that we were born here, what do we do but we go about living our daily lives? So being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, this knowledge daily should cause us not to doubt but to think, through my baptism into Christ, I have been reborn into His kingdom. I've been called out of darkness, the darkness of sin and death and the devil, to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. I belong to the kingdom of God. I can approach God, my Heavenly Father, in prayer, and He'll answer my prayer. And He considers me holy and righteous through faith in His Son, and also to be His own possession, one over whom He watches every day. Now that truly is encouraging. We need to hold on to that. Driving out of our minds all fears and doubts and worries. Let's not allow society, history, modern sensitivities, we call them, or any other aspect of our life in this world to take away from us the comfort, the joy, the peace that is ours. Because through Christ we've been made and truly are the people of God. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.